Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Football is Life.
And sometime death.
I'm Niffer.
And I'm Andy.
And this week we're going to talk about the endings of tournaments for teams that don't make it to the finals.
The tale of two teams.
The tale of two teams. Let's talk about the purple tail first, shall we?
Once upon a time, there was a purple team that played in Orlando, and it got screwed by a referee because of the Messi is in the other team, who is favored by the league, and they want to protect him. And that's the story.
Well, there's a little more to that story, Andy. I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not only that the league wants to protect Messi, it's that Apple TV wants to keep Messi in the tournament as long as possible, which means we have 2 years of getting screwed over so that Messi can stay eligible for the tournament for one more week forever.
It's disgrace.
I mean, this is what happens when you say, let's all pool our money together to get the one player that's going to matter to one team. This is the natural outcome of that.
Yeah, but just to be fair and transparent, the whole situation was all more than just they protecting the team. Because you go and you get a referee from CONCACAF who's not eligible if we are talking about tournament and tournament level. You are hiring that referee to work on that game because the federations who's playing in that tournament are Mexican, American, and Canadian. He's from Salvador. He's not a part of the competition. And they went and got him. This referee specifically is very controversial. This is what I want to be highlighting. If you read his reviews and analysis in the last World Cup, you will realize how not good. He's in the high tier, to be fair. He's in the high tier of referees across the board. Mm-hmm. Across the world, he's in the top tier. However, on that tier, he's in the lowest level of that tier. And that was clear in that game.
Would we normally for League's Cup have the highest tier of referees?
The pool is really bad to start with. The pool is really bad in the whole area. We as US, Canada, Mexico, and in general CONCACAF, we don't have a one referee that we can rely on and say, yep, this is the referee that we're gonna have him for our games, the big games. Because you have somebody like Ishmael, who is a good referee, but he did very poorly in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So the referee is really tricky. And then you have a referee like the one in the women game who let the game go. Mm-hmm. It will get all the criticism because she was letting go. But in the lens of analysis between the two, the difference is that our referee in Miami game, he was very selective. He select which calls he call and which yellow card he do and which anything he want to do, he does. While in the World Cup game, that referee was letting go for not letting go, she allowing to play for both team. So,
I'm with you, man. I'm just gonna say it's one thing to say we want to protect Messi. We see this in every sport. Superstars get like more special fouls treatment called against them, whatever, right? Like that's okay. I can go with that. But if you're perpetrating the foul, there are consequences for that. And I think that's where they went too far in like Messi. Off the ball, shoved a player to the ground, and even a foul. It should have been.
Let me go back like 5-10 minutes before that foul. It was a handball on Cartagena. The ball hit Cartagena in his chest, and Messi, like any football player in the world, saying handball. The ball went through. And then Messi start to yell, handball, handball. And this is when the referee, it changed his perspective. Even the fourth referee was next to the ball and he definitely saw it. It's not a handball.
Also, they have VAR. He could have been like, let me check.
He can't do that in VAR because this is not a VAR checkable.
Reviewable. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, whatever. So, but like, that's when you confer with the other referees. You go like, what do you think? You know, like that's, they all can talk to each other. But Messi's more important than any of the referees on the field.
Speaking of the VAR.
I don't want to talk about that.
Speaking of the VAR, the ball that you just, the foul that you're talking about, mm-hmm. if the VAR has to look at this, and they didn't say anything. Then the shove that I don't know how this is not give Apuskas a yellow card when he went and he pushed Kyle Smith in his neck. It's very clear. And the funny thing that who is taking this picture and put it on Twitter and talking how bad is the game? Atlanta fan. This is how bad was that game. I know.
Atlanta fans want to see us get destroyed by this anybody. Team because they just got embarrassed 2 weeks ago. But, and so they're not like sympathetic. That's what I'm saying. Yes, they always want to see us lose, but they really wanted to see us lose because if we lose too, then it makes everybody look bad, you know? So
Atlanta people, thank you for doing that, but at least we didn't lose like you by four.
Yeah, so of course. We didn't.
And we scored.
And I'm also really happy. Okay, so we lost the game. Everybody freaking was like worshiping Messi's shoes. I just feel like, listen, if you want to like be a fanboy, do it after the game. Like if you're officiating the game, officiate the game. I know MLS has a lot that they're trying to gain in terms of views and those kinds of things. And that this tournament, if Messi goes out in the round of 32 in this tournament, then that means there's like 3 weeks of games that nobody's going to watch, right?
Yep.
I understand that from a business perspective, but you're trying to say that this is good. Like, this isn't good soccer. This is weighted. And if he's so good, which I think he is, they could have maybe beat us legitimately. But the fact that there are these things that they delegitimize it for me. And so I feel like if you want to play like that, then I'm never going to be able to say, oh, Messi's the greatest ever. Because if you have to cheat to win, then you can't say that you're the best. That's how I feel about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for the same reasons. Tom Brady might be the greatest, but if he's so great, why do you have to cheat all the time? That's what my question is.
And I can't agree more than this because it's really. And everybody in this podcast, and you know how much I don't like Messi. So that's additional too, because Messi, here's the deal. You can see how fragile is Messi as a player between the last minute 32 in the game until the end of the second and the first half. Arujo, this baby went under his skin. Mm-hmm. There was fighting in the tunnel going out of the game because he went under the skin. He wasn't aggressive. He was just, as any player, he's trash talking. He was just giving him,
Arujo, that's who he is. That's all who he is. If it's Messi, if it's the guy you've never heard of who plays for Inter Miami, because apparently they don't have a team. It's fine.
So, then the second half started. So we have a foul, and our biggest hater, Taylor Tolman was making fun of MLS while he's broadcasting, and then his Twitter account, and he doesn't like Orlando City genuinely. So
no, he does not.
So this is that, and I think, I don't remember who, but they posted something so fun. And they put a picture of Kaká saying the only owner of the the Ballon d'Or who get carded and red card in MLS is Kaká, because he play in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And he got red carded for touching his friend's face in a playful way. Do you remember when that happened? Yes. He touched Breck Shea's face.
Yes.
Right? Was it Breck Shea?
Yeah.
And no.
It was Brookshire.
Yeah, when he was playing for a different team. And they were just like messing around. And the ref sent him off to a red card. That's crazy. Messi will never be treated like that. Ever. I was shocked that he got a yellow card. Shocked.
And honestly, and be transparent, that one was not a real yellow card. The first yellow card is questionable yellow card. Mm-hmm. But the real yellow card, you didn't call it. The yelling and that. If you compare that refereeing of this game to what happened in the World Cup, you will realize how much we are screwed in that game. Then the amazing again, the phantom penalty. We got two phantom penalty in one tournament in matter of three games.
That's
mind-boggling. You play three games, you had two penalty, they are phantom.
They didn't want us to go, man.
Literally, Antonio Carlos, he extending his hand to see where is Jose Martinez. And there is no way Jose Martinez can go get the ball. This is the other thing. There is no way for him to pass Antonio Carlos. And they call it a penalty. And what's irritating and what's making it really feel so sad and sore and very controversial, and as one of my friend who sent me the message in the following morning, very scandalous. It went through the VAR and they confirm it.
Yeah. Well, they're all in it together, my friend.
Okay. Who's on the payroll? Can somebody send us the payroll? We would love to be on that payroll if it's that bad.
I know. I'd change my tune if Miami wants to pay me to say nice
Heck
things about Messi.
No. I will never change my stand against Messi. I've been in that since 2002. I'm not changing. Messi is the devil. Simply is that.
Well, great. I can't wait till, what is it, September 24th?
24th, yep. I can't wait.
We'll be sitting together up at Exploria Stadium. Sorry, there are no more tickets available. If you don't have one, you can't come. Unless you've got a couple thousand dollars you're ready to throw at this. But we'll be there. I'm excited
and,
about that.
I don't know how much you watched the game between Miami and Dallas on Sunday. And Dallas was winning 4-1.
Yeah, I know.
And this game was the craziest poop I ever heard and saw in my life. There is a goal by Dallas. This is the guys, don't go on social media because it's so funny. There is a goal by one of the Dallas gay players, the defender. Uh-huh. Who's an own goal. Uh-huh. It looked like he is not defense. He's not trying to put the ball out. He's just with the whole intention to put the ball in the goal like a very good striker. And everybody was, what is that? What is really that? And poor Ferreira, Luis Ferreira, got concussion. That game is really so everybody's gonna get screwed and Miami gonna,
but I was glad to see Dallas looking good against Messi and his team.
It's proving my point that they are good, but
they're not unstoppable.
MLS teams gonna eat them. Just if we get the fairness in Messi is good, but this is the only down point of that game. I want to talk about that really. The only downside of that game from Orlando City, definitely our wheels fall off the wagon after the penalty because we realize how bad is it. There is no reason and hope to do it. And I went to bed after that, to be honest. However, I think Orlando City need to think very, very deep about the situation in our center backs. Our center back need overhaul. That's the reality. That's what we need.
Who would you replace?
Both. Jansen
you
and...
You think both of them?
Both
you don't
of
think
them.
One of them's the weak link?
Nope.
Okay.
Jansen start to be slower. Antonio Carlos has his mistake, and usually they are a big mistake. We know Schlegel, and we know his immaturity. So we don't have a very little, we need a center back, and I don't mind them to go and spend money on a DP for a center back, a very good DP, and begin and develop Michael Thomas to be this other center back, because what happened in the first goal was messy. It was simply mismarking.
Yeah,
he slid in between I forgot who was playing. Janssen was in the back, and who's number 77? Angulo. Angulo.
Yes.
Angulo.
I know this.
Angulo. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Long day. Angulo left Messi because Messi went into the center of the box, and Janssen didn't do anything except he's trying to stand in his spot. That's a miss positioning. And this is where the problem is. And this is where our weakness is. I think our midfield and center midfield and our attack is really good these days, other than Ojeda need to think about his life. But other than that, we are good. And our bench is really good. And I like the idea of playing Dugar instead of Kyle Smith, which is a risky move, but it's also paid dividend because you open a new wing. And we don't have Mikey Holiday because he's injured. We don't have Gaston because he's injured. So our bench is really good, but we are in dire need to have a really good two center backs to develop this team to go to the next level. I think the game was Miami, and 24th is going to be interesting. I don't know how this gonna turn, because it's gonna be bloodbath, and I hope MLS figure out their refereeing. They don't put somebody like Alan Chapman on that game, because I'm gonna lose my poop on that game.
Honestly, wouldn't be surprised, would you?
After I saw Alan Chapman being given the Clásico between Real Madrid and Barcelona, I feel they're gonna let him. Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah, wild. Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what continues to happen in the League's Cup. I think there's a lot more, you know, we're just finishing up the round of 16, so there's still a lot of tournament left to play.
Yep.
So yeah, that's pretty cool.
And Miami gonna play Charlotte, and they gonna breathe through that. But
yeah, you don't think Charlotte's gonna put up a fight?
Charlotte has one of the easiest routes in this competition, so
they haven't had any real challenge yet. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay. Well, we were gonna do a separate episode. We were thinking we would continue to do separate episodes about the U.S. women, or about the Women's World Cup, and specifically the U.S. Women's National Team. But in light of this weekend's events, we decided that we would just talk about it here as a little end cap to this episode. Because Orlando City will have another 2 weeks off until the 20th. So we'll just talk about it on this feed. Maybe if we have anything else to say, the U.S. women had a sad exit on early Sunday morning against Sweden.
Was 0.01 millimeter.
I just
saw the number. It's ridiculous.
Heartbreaking. So it was a good game, I think. I do think the ref allowed a lot more play on, but I'm comfortable with that. I'd rather in this level of competition let the teams fight it out. And I know other people have different opinions. That's fine. You can have your opinion. That's my preference.
And that game was heartbreaking, because first half we were doing super well. We missed a lot of goals. And if we said that the goal post in the game against was the best player of the game, think
had the more saves than their keeper.
Yeah, but this game, the last game, was the keeper of Sweden is the one who kept him alive in that game.
Yeah,
Again, a couple of things about U.S. women team. U.S. Federation, for the love of God, please find a coach who is creative, who is understand what substitution is, understand that you don't need to be creative by doing stuff that doesn't make sense,
mm-hmm.
and it will cost you definitely.
Yes.
I think that team has a great talent, but that team missed two key things, and we can argue about that. The first key was leadership, and I think there is a huge issue I saw with the team from leadership perspective. I think for some reason, the vibe of unity that we used to see in the women national team, well, I didn't see it in that tournament. The second thing that this team needs is play more games from now to the Olympics so we can get ready. The mm-hmm. Olympic can gonna, if we don't figure out the coach now, the Olympics are gonna sneak on us. Because the Olympics are in July, and we need somebody to reformat this team. Because, for example, I think I was talking with Taylor. We were talking that Vlaco did a couple of weird things. First of all, I will give him the credit that Rodman was great, and once in the second half he removed Rodman and put Lynn Williams, which is amazing. Lynn opened a whole lane in that side and doing everything. So this means that you have a substitution, so use them.
Mm-hmm.
I understand his position of putting Megan Rapinoe from leadership perspective and the gridness inside the field and motivating the player, but we saw from the beginning of the tournament, Megan Rapinoe was missing a touch. So mm-hmm. why are you doing that? Sophia Smith, when he moved Megan Rapinoe in and move her to the middle, she began to light. So why you didn't do that and put somebody in that lane in addition? And you have Alcatraz outside, you have ton of good Ortega outside, you have great player outside, and you can actually put Alyssa Thompson and bring her in, give her the confidence. So mm-hmm. that's the part. Then another thing, Flacco, and this is make me curse in every single language I know after the game. The reporter asking him, so about the penalties, his reply was the following. Yeah, we've been focusing on the penalties for the last 8 to 9 months. So we were training on them. And I was, seriously, dude, what training are you talking about? You put three players in, one of them are the only one who scored out of the three. So mm-hmm. your percent is 75% off. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, how you are training the team on penalty kicks and not and your number six in penalty kicks are Alyssa Nair, your goalkeeper. What the actual hecking that you are talking about to put your goalkeeper as number six? When you are having a team of 20 plus players who can play, honestly,
I was shocked when I saw Alyssa go up. I was like, "What are we? Isn't this a little early to pull out your goalkeeper?"
I was. Katie waked up at that time, and she was looking at me. She looked at me. She, is this normal? I said, I never.
Craziest thing is, what if she missed that one, and then she had to go defend, because like the order, she would have, if she had missed it, she would have had to get back on the line and yep. tried to save a goal. That's like that's insanity. Who would be in a position? Thank goodness she made it. And I will say, I've been a little bit of an Alyssa Nair questioner, cynic, if you will. But she really played so well in that game.
Yeah, she played. Actually, she played well in the Netherlands game and this game. Those are the two games that she played well. Portugal was not.
I don't think anybody played well in the Portugal game.
Portugal game,
to
the,
be honest.
Yeah, and the Portugal game, I can talk about it for hours and hours because it's still because Portugal game.
You.
Yeah, and the Portugal game is the reason why we are here, because if we play, Anyway. I think Vlaco, again, as I said in the last episode, he's a great analytical coach, so he can put a great game plan before the game, but he can't think on his feet. Like our lovely Greg Bullharter. I'm going to say something I'm going to regret, but I'm hoping that we do horribly in Copa America, that they think to fire him and get a better coach to play us in the World Cup. Because I can trust him and I can do what the same situation was Vlaco, when you have a coach that is very good in analytics, but when it comes to thinking on his feet, changing the game. Because if you will see, if you compare Vlaco to Greg, you will see every resemblance in their style of coaching. Delay in making decision, figuring out where's the need, when we gonna move everything, what we get, how we counterattack that, what the other team is throwing at us. We don't do that. We set and try and keep trying, even if it's not working. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a disappointing end. That's for sure, for sure, yeah. For sure.
And it's sad because you have somebody like, I'm so devastated, like Julie Ertz is going out like this. Mm-hmm. Megan Rapinoe is out. Kelly O'Hara, it's probably, it's the lost. Muse, maybe Christy Muse, maybe this is her lost. If we are talking about Julie Ertz, so probably Muse too. Alex Morgan. Probably, but she's saying I'm not ready
she
to hang in
no.
my boot. But I think
we'll see what she really says.
I think it's maximum Olympic Games. I don't think
she won't be back for another World Cup. I don't think, although she'll only be 36.
But again, if you go look at the glints of Julie Ertz, I don't understand why Julie is retiring from international. I don't understand.
Well, okay, there are a bunch of other things. Like she's got little kids, right?
Yeah.
You spend so much time in training and all those things, like it may just not be worth it to her anymore.
Her husband's not doing good in NFL, so he can take care of the babies and she can go and work.
Well, unfortunately, being mediocre in the NFL gets you paid way more than being excellent on the women's national team.
Actually, he is also got screwed by his Eagles.
Yeah.
Anyway, you will love that take. You'll love that take. I'm making fun of Eagles.
I hate the Eagles, so I'm always happy. Always happy. Anyway.
So what's the status of the whole World Cup right now? So we have eight teams. Mm-hmm. We have Spain going to play Netherlands on Thursday. We're going to have Japan play Sweden. This is going to be a game. Mm-hmm. I wish this game was the early one, 9 p.m., instead of Spain and Netherlands. But Spain and Netherlands are going to also be good, but I wish Japan Sweden was the early one.
Then yeah, that would be wonderful.
Oh yeah, Australia and France is gonna be a good one.
Be a good game.
England's gonna play semifinal. I can tell.
Yeah, I think it's England. That's my official decision at this point in the tournament. I think they're gonna win the whole thing.
I think England and Japan is gonna be the final.
Yeah, I think that'll be a really good final. Anyway, there's a lot going on. Unfortunately, none of it anymore has to do with Orlando City or the U.S. women's team. Yep. So bummer about those. I can't believe how many top 10 teams were out before the round of 16. That's pretty crazy.
Yep.
I will be interested to hear what the like post-tournament analysis is around all of that, like what the reasons are. But I know for the U.S., the main reason is poor coaching. And so I don't think it's even a question of if Vlad gets fired. It's a question of who's going to replace him.
There is a lot of conversation about bringing Portland's coach to be the next coach. Even she came over the last couple of days saying, mm-hmm. no, I'm not interested. But I think, hot take, I think U.S. should go after England coach, which is mm-hmm. the Netherlands old coach. Mm-hmm. I think she's amazing. She's one of the greatest coaches on the women soccer I saw.
I heard a rumor that they're talking to Carly Lloyd.
But she's not a coach. She's not a coach. I'm gonna be
commentator.
We need
a coach who wins. That's what we need.
We need with a resume. Can we just stop giving people we didn't have a Jose Mourinho yet in men or women's side to give them an opportunity when they are young. We didn't have a Jurgen Klopp. We don't have we didn't have Guardiola or Jose Mourinho. Those are the younger. They are what's his name, the coach for Chargers or San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, when they are young and give them opportunity when they're 40s. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We are a World Cup contender. We mm-hmm. have the squad to win a World Cup. You can go and cheap on the coach. I think we should go behind and try to get Serena Wiegman, the coach from England now, to be our coach next Olympics. I think she's impressive. Mm. I mean, that's the level we need. We can go and play cheap, simply.
Mm. Well, it'll be really interesting, and it'll be really interesting to see what the squad is like next summer, and even more interesting in 4 years, who's still around, who's really stepped up. I think there's a lot of really young talent that we're going to see rise to the top as some of these women, veteran women, start hanging up their boots. So anyway, that's enough of that for today. Until next time, go USA and go City.